Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is June 6th.
Feeling like May 5th.
Feeling like October 5th.
Word.
Freezing outside.
It's cold outside.
For no damn reason at all. Sean's he's in Atlanta. He's in the middle of some shit. I don't know what's going on with him. So he's going to try to pop in if he can. But I guess he's probably not really stable right now.
Yeah, he moved.
So we'll hold it down till hopefully he pops in. And I'm trying to get home and watch the damn game. A jerk in my man LeBron just every which way. Oh,
yo,
my God,
like,
dude.
But listen, what do you really kind of have? Like, I wonder what the morale is like of anybody else on the Cavs, because you were really, I mean, I guess it is, but everybody just talks about like it's LeBron playing Golden State. Like, that's it.
Yeah. He's Michael and they Tito and Marlon and Jackie and Randy, not even Jermaine. Right. It's probably a tough situation to be in, but I mean, that first game that J.R. Smith, you know, but even previous to JR, it was like at least three crazy, I'm not gonna call them questionable, just foul, just terrible foul, like dudes just slapping LeBron on the arm and not calling it. It was another, right. Foul, something like that too. Last game they literally tackled him. You know what I'm saying? Steph Curry and, Klay Thompson. It was another foul in that the first game that they didn't call. And then of course they reversed the charge call. And if they hadn't reversed the charge call, they would have been up to and had possession of the ball.
Right.
It was 40 some seconds left. So yeah, so Golden State would have got a shot, but you know, who knows? They might have fouled. Like, who knows? But like, right. that changed. And then that led to JR doing the bullshit.
Right. Do you think that when we look back on this series in history, this is going to be like one of the legendary playoff series that people talk about?
Yeah, because of the bullshit. Because of JR doing the bullshit in that game. Because if Cleveland had won that first game, it's a whole different tone now. Because now, even if Golden State wins the second one, it's 1-1. You know, tonight it would have been 1-1. It's a whole different animal. Then they're going back. Then they're going back to Cleveland, and it's a whole different energy. Now it's like, you know, I mean, LeBron had 51 and they lost. That's crazy. And they only had 80 something points. So they did exactly what they wanted to do in that first game. LeBron dominated, and they slowed the pace of the game down. Because, you know, Golden State, if they get out running, you can't keep up.
Right.
So they slowed the pace of the game down. Both teams had less than 100 points. Like, that's the blueprint to beating them. But, you know, so, I mean, I'm pulling for LeBron. I was telling my man yesterday, it's like, you know what? I'm not a Cavs fan at all, but it's like LeBron is now in that place where, like, Jordan was, where it's like, yo, really enjoy this, because you're not ever going to see this again.
Right.
Like, even if it's so, you don't have to be a Cavs fan, but you just got to understand, like, this, we're not
level
seeing this again.
Yeah.
We're not seeing this again. Like, it'll be somebody else that'll come along and be great in a few years, for sure, because it always is. But, like, Jordan did what he did. We're not going to ever see that again. We're not going to see this again. So, I mean, I'm sad that they, you know, they jerking my man like that, but, you know, whatever. I wanted to, I know y'all ain't seen it, but I wanted to mention this. Your phone is buzzing. So
that's
move it away from you. Oh, so is that my phone? Okay.
Because I didn't even hear it.
No, I'm saying the signal, you can just move it away.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah,
because it's like, I wanted to say I saw the Andre Leon Talley documentary.
Mm-hmm. Where is it?
It's at a few theaters. Actually, we just see it.
Oh, it's not on Netflix. Okay.
No, it's in theaters, but it's going to be, oh, is bro there? Oh, what's up, bro?
I think we're still getting it together.
Yeah, man.
Brother, going out.
You good? Get yourself together, because Jeff talking about Andre Leon Talley documentary.
Yeah, you got time, because y'all ain't seen the shit anyway, so I'm going to talk about it for a minute.
All right.
He's got this documentary out about his about his life growing up as this, obviously gay black man from Durham, North Carolina, who became an international fashion,
icon.
And, kind of his journey. It's very interesting because, he lives alone. According to him, he's never been in love because he wouldn't allow himself to be in love with anybody because he's purely focused on his career. He lives up in White Plains, actually, in a house.
I would imagine him living somewhere fancier.
Me too. I imagine living like somewhere in the city, but he's got a house up in White Plains. He lives by himself. Apparently he literally never has guests in the house. Like apparently when he filmed in the house, it was the first time anybody's been inside the house besides him.
That's fascinating, actually.
Yeah. He only let them film in a couple of locations. They weren't able to get all throughout the house.
Yeah, exactly. Only a couple of rooms.
I find that immensely fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. He talks of, and they go back to Durham throughout the film, like I guess a couple of times. And as he's in the film, he's 68 because the film was done in 2016. There's an old teacher of his. I can't remember her name, real beautiful woman, and a couple of old friends he grew up with. He's still got, relationships with them. They seem to be very comfortable. And they they ain't never seen Andre in 50 years kind of thing. Like, it seems like he kind of had, stayed in somewhat touch with them. And they talk about, growing up in Durham, obviously I guess he's born in the 40s. So in the 50s and the early 60s and the racism. But, he talks about, church being like basically a fashion show. That's where he got it from. And, and he says, he kind of picked the lane where he was like, look, I could do, I knew what was going on with the civil rights movement and Dr. King and, the sick and dogs on people. I was seeing it, but he basically was like, hey, I had a shot to achieve a dream I could never imagine, which was going from Durham, North Carolina to Vogue magazine. And I just picked the side and I just went for it and kind of just immersed himself into that world. Wow. Fully to the point where now it's interesting because, a lot of those people in that world, some of them are dead. Some of them don't seem to fuck with him like they used to. Like Anna Wintour is in the doc and a couple other fashion, Marc Jacobs is in it. So there are some fashion people in the doc, but they don't seem to fuck with him like they used to. And right. Now he's kind of coming back to blackness.
Yeah, I noticed that Andre's been back with the with the fashion blacks.
Yes, Bethann Hardison's in the movie.
The Bethann, even friends of the show and friend in real life, Bev and that crew, yeah, and the
Andre Walker. Yeah,
he's
very close with Tamron Hall. She's in the movie.
Very
close, and he helps dress her. So he had to come back because they kind of, ostracized him. I heard you moaning over there.
There was a break.
Like this nigga here.
Andre. There was a great piece in the Times that was done on him. Sort of sums up the movie in that they're like these ebbs and flows throughout his career, right? Where he is sort of on top and he's, doing all of these things and he has all of this access to, sort of being portrayed as a rabble rouser, so to speak. And I think that's probably true. I think he probably did ask a few questions like, why am I the only one here?
Right.
But I also got the sense from this piece and from the bits and pieces that you've told me about the movie that he says it on a Fresh Air podcast. He's wildly insecure. He talks about that. And I think that is a part of why he hasn't really sort of had relationships. Meaningful relationships, not just in a romantic sense, but also in a very platonic sense. I don't think anyone really knows him. I think you get Andre for that time. And you get him when he wants to give himself to you. You don't get to access him when he just doesn't want you to have access. I think that that's something that is, that sounds like those sorts of fashion people, right?
Yeah.
Like you get them when they give them to you. And I think he sort of morphed and assimilated into that culture, which isn't that is not a part of black culture. Like black culture
it's not
is
natural to him.
Natural for us. No, nigga, we ain't see you in 3 days. Miss Earlene coming to knock on that door.
Exactly, right, exactly. Right. Okay. Andre, you in here?
Yeah, you in. What's going on in here now?
You been eating?
And that's what I feel, right? Like the dichotomy of being a giant black, clearly country ass boy,
mm-hmm.
but gay boy, gay fashionista
mm-hmm.
from Durham, North Carolina,
in the 50s,
like. My nigga, there are definitely two Andres inside his head. Like, there gotta be. They gotta, cause he had the, there's no way he didn't grow up as two people. Do you know what I mean? There's no way he didn't grow up as what he showed on the outside versus what he was feeling on the inside. And then when he first moved into this world, it was probably a relief to be able to be, you know, as grand.
Yeah, flamboyant.
Whatever
he
wants to be. Mm-hmm. But of course, now as you get older, my guess is that struggle between those two parts of yourself come back, right? Because you know, we get older, we age in reverse, we regress, and especially like at 68, 70.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably is kind of now struggling with his foundation versus what he became, and that fashion life, as you know, is a cautionary tale. As with music, as with entertainment, as with any of that stuff that is based on that is quickly moving and based on time and based on whatever is hottest, newest, latest, there always comes a point where you're past expiration.
Mm-hmm.
And if all you've ever focused on is being in that mix, then you will find yourself. Like, he has to lead a very lonely life. It sounds like a very lonely
You see in the movie, he is a very lonely man, like you said, because when he's, you know, when he goes to Durham, which isn't much, it's like he's going down there every summer. Like, you know, when he goes to Durham, there's a few people around. Like I said, he's almost 70, so a lot of people have passed away. You know, his grandmother who raised him, obviously has been long gone. His mom, who he says he hated. Cause she didn't like the fact that he was gay. And so she's,
right.
He tells a story about they were going to church and he had on some, you know, flamboyant outfit. And his mother was like, I can't walk in the church with you looking like this.
Hmm.
And he told his mother, well, then you go in front of me then if you don't want to, be seen with me. And he said, that's when I realized you could love somebody, but also hate them. And so he would like let little things like that slip out. But yeah, when he's in the New York area, you know, unless he's doing, you know, going to the Met Ball or like some, you know, maybe a Wendy Williams appearance, or, you know, they're reviewing clothes or something like that. For the most part, he's up in White Plains, man, like by himself in this house. You know, he's a very lonely guy.
It sounds like he might become a recluse in a few years.
In a few years. I think we're at the beginning stages of it, right? I think even he would probably objectively admit that, right? And I think that because I didn't see the movie, but this Times article was really so great, like it really sort of painted a picture. You know, it talks about like this, you know, it's not a huge home that he lives in. He's not living in some massive mansion.
It is
cluttered in a way. He has collected fabulous things throughout his travels and things, mm-hmm. and things of that nature. But it's a lot of basically what it intimated was that he's got a lot of shit. He's got a lot of tchotchkes.
Yeah, there's two other things about the movie that we'll move on. One thing they kind of address the, you know, a massive weight gain, but not.
Well, because he had had a massive weight loss. And then he gained it all back.
Yeah, not deeply though. They talk about it. They show me what he's at the movie. He's at Duke. They have a weight, you know, like a program, like a nutrition program to teach him how to eat right and lose weight. And he's in the program. He's talking to the lady and he talks about how he'll eat like a whole pan of biscuits by himself. And each biscuit is 500 calories. He's like, he said, because it reminds him of his grandmother. So, like, because she used to make him a pan of biscuits every morning before at breakfast and before they went to
and
church.
And I think, too, and like you say, I know we'll move on. I think in hindsight, that connection is probably the most lasting and most, the only relationship he can identify as unconditional.
Right. Exactly. Like
every other relationship was based on something, either something he was able to do, something he was able to provide, all of that sorts of things. But he, You know, he talked about his financial woes. And again, Fresh Air Podcast is a great listen with him. It's pretty short. It's about 15 minutes, but it's really telling. And, you know, the interviewer, Terry Gross, she really allows him to speak, right? Like, she's not peppering him with questions. So you really, really get some insight. And if you listen to it, you really get more insight than you probably bargained for.
Yeah, the last thing is what kind of surprised me is I didn't realize. I read it in the article that Sean's talking about, but you know, he went to Brown University. He's a really and he said that for a lot of part of his life, like he would almost read a book a day. That's one thing that's in his house. It's like stacks of books. Just stacks and stacks and stacks of books. Like, he's like a really, really smart guy, but is hidden almost under all that flamboyance and over the top persona. But like, right. He's like really, like, imagine going to Brown University, gay, straight, whatever, as a black person in like 1960 something. That's crazy.
Right. That's crazy. Yeah.
Like, all of our forefathers at that point were going to HBCUs because
right. There
wasn't many options. Like, you kind of had to. So, and he went to Ivy League. Like, it was
on
like
a scholarship. Like, yeah.
On a scholarship. Yeah. So, you know, it was a very interesting doc. I enjoyed it. Did y'all listen to the Kanye album at all?
No.
Nope.
I didn't think neither of y'all did. So, I'll just talk about it real quick. So, he put his album out. It was called some other shit. It was called Ye before, but now I think it's called Love Everybody. He's changed the title. You know,
so he's changed the title post-release.
Post-release,
of course,
yeah.
Because
that's what he does. So it's seven songs. I don't really enjoy it too much, and I was trying to take I listened to it like maybe two times through when I checked out. I was trying to not listen to it through the prism of all the bullshit that he's been doing. Trying to. It was very hard to. Very hard to, because it's only 3 weeks ago that he was on this bullshit. I haven't forgotten it all. But to me, it's, you know, all that being said, I think it's his worst album. It feels kind of not fully done.
That's what I was going to ask. Sorry to interrupt you. I was going to ask if it feels rushed, because I've heard that this is a completely different album than what he was playing a month ago.
Yes. Apparently what he played for Charlamagne, when Charlamagne went to see him.
A whole different album.
It's no songs are the same.
Is that Poopity Scoop album on there? A song
no,
on there? And
no,
the T.I.
No,
song
no,
ain't on there?
No. Neither one of those records
are
on there.
I think when he went quiet after all that ranting, when he went quiet, he went back and redid it. I think Childish Gambino made him redo his whole album. I'm not even playing.
No.
I think this is America. That's what he went quiet. I think this is America made him redo that shit.
Yeah. I heard he was working on an album right up to he did this big, you know, album listening in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I guess that was last Thursday because the album came out Friday. Yeah. And I heard he was working on it like up until that. Like, people were flying in and he was in the studio still working.
I believe that.
I'm surprised
he didn't pull it. I'm surprised he didn't do what he did with Life of Pablo and pull it to keep working on it, frankly.
Yeah. I mean, I think only because he's trying to keep up this release schedule of every Friday a new record.
Oh,
because
Good Friday. Yeah.
Week is supposed to be him and Kid Cudi's album. So, I mean, if you get it, if you, you know, get up for it, you should listen to it just to listen to it. But by no means am I suggesting you check it out. Like, it's not like, yo, you got to hear this album. It's like,
I might listen to it at some point for the sake of the conversation. I was not giving that nigga no first week streams.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was not going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. I know, bro. I know you ain't really fuck with that nigga.
Man, fuck that nigga, man.
Have y'all been keeping up with this this volcano thing, man? Everywhere.
This shit
now
is like a movie at this point. This is insane. And I haven't heard the president say shit about the volcano in Hawaii, by the way, which is still erupting.
Not a thing.
And now it's in Guatemala. Like, I saw some footage from Guatemala. This shit is, I'm telling y'all, y'all better get your fucking house in order. It is end of days.
That, like, Guatemala footage is stunning.
That shit looks like a movie. It's a movie. Yeah. It's a movie.
It's incredible. Like, all that ash and soot and, you know, smoke in the sky. Because I think, you know, so some people, they might not realize, it's not just kind of like smoke that blows away. That's like soot and like dirt.
Yeah, that shit, like,
ash. Yeah, and it's coming down eventually. And it's going to, like, this picture of Guatemala, the whole country's like covered with white soot. And you got to breathe that shit. It's like, it's terrible, man. You know, it's like, yeah, and Hawaii still, like you said, like Nas said, Hawaii's still going up. You know what I mean? There's new shit going up. It's just scary, man. It's really scary.
Like and we're on our way back into hurricane season when motherfuckers still ain't recovering from last year.
Wow. Yeah, I was watching They Still Samero last night, and they had Ruben Diaz, who's the Bronx Borough president, and he's Puerto Rican. I think he said his grandmother came over, so he still got a lot of family there. And he was talking about it. He's like, yo, like, this government literally, not that anybody's surprised, you can see the way Trump was acting when the hurricane in Puerto Rico happened. He barely wanted to even go. He stayed like, what, an hour or something, threw a few paper towels out and bounced.
Told everybody to have a good time.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. And now, you know, the government's literally done nothing to help Puerto Rico. Now they said the new death tolls are like
400,000,
almost 5,000 people.
I mean, 4,000, yeah.
Yeah, 4,000.
More than 5, Katrina. People.
Yeah, more than Katrina on an island that's, you know, a tiny island. It's not a big place. And more people probably, I'm sure, will sadly die, you know, moving forward because they'd have no electricity, no supplies, no medical supplies, no running, no clean water in a lot of places. And it's just been almost a year. It's crazy. Like, your man is just Jesus Christ, man. It's like the devil. It's amazing.
Ain't like, right?
Hey, did either one of y'all see Pose?
I did. That shit was great.
Did you see it, bro?
I didn't, man. I was traveling that night. He was just moving.
That's right. He was moving. He was down in Memphis. Yeah, it was a really good. I mean, when you get time to kind of sit, bro, like just check out. It's a really
good show. No.
You got it. Okay.
No. I taped it. I absolutely wanted to do this. I don't know if I've told you guys we had actually explored this world before to do a show around it. So I was very familiar with, you know, this project, the moment I heard about it, the moment I read about it in the trades.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think like Jordan was watching it or taped it or whatever. So yeah, I'll be locked in.
It's really well done. I'm completely invested in everybody already. Mm-hmm. And I just threw up on Twitter and Jeff, you gave a really great analysis of Paris is Burning here on the show a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, it's back on Netflix. And, Paris is Burning is back on Netflix.
Okay.
It's been gone for a while. So like I rewatched it. I think it might've honestly been the first time I watched it in full. I watched it the other week and there's Pose coming. There's another, I think I want to say it's Vice is doing a docuseries called The House on like a current present day houses.
Okay.
And there's something else that's coming out. There's another show coming out too. So like with like always happens, there's old stuff that's having a resurgence. Mm-hmm. But I had said on Twitter, like, I really need everybody, but especially the kids, to really watch Paris is Burning if they haven't seen it, because you really need to understand like reading and serving realness
and yes,
and even like get some coin and like all of that shit. Like decades old.
And that movie was 1986 or 87.
Right. And at that point, the ballroom scene was actually coming above ground. It had existed already for years.
Yeah. The ballroom scene goes back, I think, to like the 20s.
Yeah. So I thought Pose was really great. I thought it was really true to what I know of culture, obviously. It even opened with a really great sequence. I mean, they got you in from the beginning. And I mean, I expected no less from Ryan Murphy, because whatever Ryan Murphy does, he's going to do.
Yeah, he's good.
He's great. But as I'm in. I'm really in.
Yeah, and I appreciated the whole kind of, and I guess obviously it's going to grow and it's going to be interesting, the story how it morphs, but the whole how they slipped in the you know, I don't even know he's a, you know, on what's it called, a closeted gay male. I love the fact that they slipped in that White Wall Street thing.
Yeah.
Because that world was also crazy in '80s with dude sniffing coke in the office. Yeah. Like, those guys were...
Like, accepting his job. It's like, let's do this line.
Yeah, it's mad. And they mentioned Trump.
Yeah, he works for Trump.
He works for Trump.
Yeah.
So, like, they kind of got a lot of different worlds in the movie going at the same time.
The other thing is, apparently very much of the cast is actually transgender.
I was wondering if they were or not.
Yeah, a lot of the cast is actually transgender. So I read somewhere, I need to confirm this. I'm pretty sure it's true, but it's because it's not like you have more than one transgender in a cast at a time usually, but there's apparently the most casted LGBT and transgender actors and actresses ever, you know, on a network series. Yeah.
Yeah. So I enjoy it. Like I said, they nailed a lot of that 80s gritty feel that New York had, like Washington Square Park and, you know, the kind of just the dirtiness of New York that the dirty. It's going away. They really seem to nail it. So, yeah, we'll keep watching that. Did y'all watch Real Housewives this week? Potomac?
Yes.
You watch it, bro?
I watched portions of it. I just, again, man, I was moving so much this last week.
Yeah, you was moving. Yeah, you was moving and grooving. So what do you think about the show this week, Nye?
What happened this week?
This week, the main thing was Giselle and Sherman breaking up.
Right, which is weird,
Oh, they
right?
broke up?
Yeah. Kinda. But we only got Giselle's part of it. So, like, a couple of episodes ago, when the girls went on vacation, Giselle mentioned that her and Sherman hadn't spoken in a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's been like carrying over. But she's made it seem like just communication's been off, not whether it's been completely cut off altogether. So apparently what happened was Giselle did an article about her beauty line.
Yeah.
And talked about her relationship. And at this point, they'd apparently been dating for like 2 years.
Yeah, a year and a half.
They ran a photo of her and Sherman, and Sherman didn't like it. Mm. But he didn't tell her at first that's what was wrong. Like he kind of just like went quiet, and he didn't tell her at first that's what was wrong. It took him a minute to come out and say he didn't like it, but he wasn't even trying to like move past it, I guess, right? And
well, that was his way to get out.
Probably. I bet, I
saw that part, and I bet money they had that conversation long time ago.
You think
so?
Sherman Douglas has lived his life under a fucking rock since he left the NBA.
True.
He has made that a point. He ain't out here like that. He ain't at none of the functions. He ain't had none of that shit. You don't see him at Syracuse games cheering on the
right.
Nothing. And it seems to me, like I said on the show before, that he enjoyed living his life as such. Mm-hmm. And did not want to be. It was probably
more about the show than about that people, Meg. That would be my guess.
I think it was because she talked
about him every 10 seconds on the damn show.
It could have been a couple of things, a perfect storm. But I think that a guy like that has probably had that conversation initially. I think she probably was like, oh, you know, shit is new, so I'm not going to say nothing anyway. And I think after she put the nigga on the Costco card and had him go get his mama prescription.
Exactly.
She thought it was all good.
He thought it was all good.
Well, also, apparently, Sherman's ex-wife runs in the same circle. He also may not have wanted no static. Like, all right.
Of course he don't want no, because that ain't, because honestly, that ain't none of his bag.
Right.
That's none of his bag. That nigga, he don't even be at no premiere. That nigga don't do nothing.
Yeah, he's low. He's low with it. This is my theory.
You know, Jeff's theory about to be out of control.
No, it ain't gonna be that bad actually this time. So this is my theory. I think that Sherman, you know, he met up with old girl, you know, they doing a little think Dezo, you know what I'm saying? And I think that she started to get, cause I saw it on the show. She got a little pushy. Like, hey, you know, daughter's miss you too. And, you know, she even mentioned, I think one thing about maybe having a blended family. Like, I think she just got a little pushy because I think Giselle has her whole life gotten everywhere she's gotten really based on her looks. And so like dudes usually probably do whatever she wants them to do. So I think that Sherman was like, I'm not tripping on, like, he's attracted to her, but the looks alone weren't going to make him just do whatever. And I think she started to get pushy maybe I think because she had feelings for Sherman, but also because their relationship in her mind would have been a great look on the show.
Also,
but well, I also think she was really into him though, Jeff.
No, no, since she had, I said she had real feelings.
But I do think maybe she was taking it a little further because.
Can I just say, it's been 18 months, my nigga.
Yeah.
I mean, what we doing here?
And y'all grown
like,
as fuck.
Like, y'all niggas are all the way grown.
Old and grown.
You niggas are really watching your retirement plans. Okay? That's how old y'all niggas are.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Y'all niggas is talking about how y'all finna pay off mortgages.
Yeah.
Well, what are we like
and downsizing.
And downsize. Like, nigga, either you want the big piece of chicken in the remote or you don't. Or you okay? Don't. 18 months to me. Listen, if you told me she did that shit 4 or 5 months in, I totally understand that.
And you know what, totally Sean? You're absolutely right. And that's what she said to Juan, because Juan was like, well, maybe you were just speeding. Yeah. Maybe he need a little time. And she was like, Juan, we were together for a year and a half. Like,
well, what, a year and a half for old niggas is like, nigga, that's like seven
that's
years.
That's like, yeah, that's a long ass time, nigga. We ain't got that much goddamn time. Listen, real talk. You listen, know quickly now. Come on, because you know what you like and you know what you don't like. Like, it don't take that goddamn long.
Yeah, I can handle the snoring, but I can't handle, I got all that. But the other thing is this. I think that, look, this, you know, this has been a long time ago, but, you know, back in the late 80s and early 90s, I spent a lot of time in the Washington, D.C. area. So I kind of know how them niggas kind of, and I know how them niggas kind of move and think. And, you know, D.C. is, you know, a hotbed for beautiful women, professional women. There's a ton of them down there, single, and they're doing their thing. And Sherman's from there. He's living down there. And I think Sherman's kind of like, I don't know if I really want to upset my life. Like, I'm kind of good. Like, I'm,
it's,
you know,
possible. I mean, but I will say this. It feels like the way Sherman handled it was like some 20-something-year-old nigga shit.
Mm.
And when you are at that age and that stage of your life, shit, I mean, Giselle's not that much older than me. She's older than me. She's not that much older than me at my age and my stage of life. Like,
you ain't playing all the games.
Yeah, no, you can't. Come on, nigga, this ain't like, we're adults, A. Both of y'all motherfuckers is divorced, B. So you know how to exit a relationship. Like,
yeah, divorced with kids.
Yeah. So it, like, at least give me the respect that is due, the time we've spent, the time we've shared, you know, because like Sean said, at that level at 18 months, I done met your family. You done met my family. Like, you know what I mean? Cause I'm trying to imagine me and Greg break up and we break up over the phone. I would show up at that nigga's door like, you gotta be kidding me. Because,
look me in the eye, nigga.
Yeah, like, that's not what you do at this stage in the game. What you need, my mama might show up at his door like, the fuck. You know, so it's like, there is something that, you can't be ghosting people in your 40s, be like,
and 18 months in, that doesn't 40s, work. Nigga, Sherm, a smooth 50.
Or close to it.
That nigga was born in the 60s, nigga. That nigga 50. What the fuck y'all niggas talking about? Sherm, an old nigga, man.
Yeah.
Sherm is an old, and he's an old worldly nigga. He's not an old nigga that ain't never left Cleveland and worked down at the bus depot
for 30 years. He's been around.
And like, okay, I get it. You know, I think too, I think she looks for things that people aren't able to deliver. I think he just, I, what I'm saying is, I think Sherman,
but that could be a conversation.
Yeah, but I think Sherman is exhibiting behavior that has been consistent. I don't think anything he's exhibiting now
is surprising.
It's surprising. If you were paying attention,
he didn't flip his mode. He didn't flip his mode. You know,
my point is, when niggas act like that, like, that's when you've had those conversations and you start hearing about how past relationships ended and you start hearing about how he deals with friends that he has falling outs with.
That's
a part of understanding and learning people and you're like, yeah, nigga, like, you ain't going to be no different.
Yeah, exactly. But, so, you know. Yeah, that was the kind of the meat of the show. The other part of the show was Ashley and Michael with Ashley signing an extension on her prenup.
Nigga, play an option.
Yeah, he said play an option.
Right.
You get 2 more years with option for a third. You know what I'm saying? So that was.
What was interesting was Ashley was trying to negotiate the prenup on camera.
Yeah, Michael was.
And Mike was like, "Are you kidding me right now? I'm not discussing this. This is a legal document. I'm not talking about this on the show."
Exactly.
And Ashley was stumped. Like she really didn't know what to say. Like she was like. So we're not going to talk about this right now. He was like, I'm not talking about this in front of the camera.
Yeah,
and Ashley was really stuck. Like she wouldn't even say, okay, let's talk about it later. Okay. You're right. Can y'all cut the cameras off? Like, well, she was still trying to play it.
She was so stumped that she just signed it.
Yeah.
She was like, all right, fuck it. Signed. You know what I'm saying?
He was like, you gotta be like, and was drinking a beer. Like, you gotta be kidding me right now. I'm not
in the office. My man got his office, like, with his little scooter riding around. I don't know what Michael do for a living, but he's definitely making some
paper. He's a developer.
Is that what it is? Cause he's making some paper. Cause them views from that office was crazy. Like, I was
he was like, Shorty, there's no way I'm about to have this conversation with you on camera. You gotta be out of your mind.
Don't make me bring the businessman out on you right now.
Word. There was a homegirl and her mama. I don't like neither one. I don't like anything in that.
I don't like
none of them.
I feel like
she bores me. Her mama bores me. The boyfriend bores me. I'm not interested in them or invested in them at all.
I feel like I might like Candace a little bit on the right night.
Trying to like everybody.
I don't like that mom. I don't like that mom at me and that mom would clash.
So
and she's just got that stinky, bougie, old black lady, nasty attitude. Like,
but you know what though, Jeff? She, and I said this before, she fake bougie. She not real, like, she got her little license. She got her little, I shouldn't say little degree.
You got your little degree.
I shouldn't say that.
You're the little doctor.
Got your little office.
She got her doctor. I promise you that her mother is first generation money.
Everything. Her mama ain't but one generation out the sharecropping field.
And you can tell. And I know I sound bougie as fuck when I say this, but you can tell. You can tell. Because she is performing bouginess, right? Because real bougie is nasty, like how Karen Huger be nasty.
Yeah.
Or how Giselle be nasty. And even Karen be performing bouginess sometimes because she ain't always had that money.
She ain't always had that money. She was on the farm too.
But real bougie is like Kevin Lyles' wife or something like that. Like, it's not always just necessarily nasty and upper crusty and whatever. And that's how Candace's mom acts and speaks and carries herself. And it's like you're doing what you think women of a certain status do and how they act. And it's the same thing that Monique does, frankly. And it's like you're doing what you think women with money and women in a certain social status are supposed to do and how they're supposed to act and how they're supposed to talk. And it just comes off as really inauthentic.
Yeah.
And Candace, even though she was raised by this woman, she act like a girl from the hood. Like, I've been confused since day one. Like, how is she on this? Why is she on the show?
Well, that's why I said I might could like her one night in the right circumstances. She might turn up a little bit. She might.
Right.
Hey, yo, can I just say, like, for the Monique situation, for someone who is also overwhelmed, every time they shoot at her house,
there's 80 people in there.
What is happening?
Nigga, that kitchen was so full, like when she was talking, you could hear they were picking up all the other conversations.
Right.
That's how many people's in that kitchen. But you can't find nobody to take care of these two kids.
Yeah.
Shit, man. Hey, so I wanna mention Kate Spade, of course. American fashion designer of a lot of renown, who was found she had hung herself with a scarf.
Yesterday? Ooh, yeah.
Yesterday, right?
Like hanging yourself. It was either yesterday or day before yesterday and reported yesterday, but I think it may be that she was found on Monday and it was reported yesterday, but man.
Yes, obviously terrible. She wrote a note, which is, this is almost like straight out of a movie. I hate to try to be so like, make it so like cavalier, but like she wrote this note basically saying, telling her children, you know, when you get old enough, ask your father why I killed myself. It's like, yo,
which is woo
bananas. Like, how do you get past that? I don't know. I don't even know. you know, I don't know. That was, it was crazy. I mean, they said she dealt with bipolar and depression, and she was also apparently at this stage of her life, because she was 55 when she.
I think Andy had approached her about a divorce, though.
Yeah,
he absolutely.
I actually thought they were already divorced. I don't know why I thought the two of them, and I may have been confusing Kate and Tory Burch and her husband, but because, you know, not Andy, Jack. Kate and Jack Spade has his own line, too. A men's line. Is it Jack? Andy? Whatever the fuck. Her husband has
his own line. No, Andy. Andy is his real name, but his line is called Jack
Spade. Jack Spade. Right. So he has his own. I don't know why, for some reason, I thought they were already split. But one thing I do want to point out, you know, mental illness conversations are still tricky. And there's been a lot of, you know, it proves money doesn't buy you happiness and money doesn't do this and doesn't do that. And I do just want to point out that mental illness isn't really about happiness. You can have every single thing on paper that should make you happy, but it's an illness, right? So, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, we know how many rich people that committed suicide, know of how many rich people that committed suicide or whatever. I do think it's important to know that nobody's immune from it. Mm-hmm. And you never know, like, part of Kate's brand was presenting this very modern kind of Stepford wife thing, right? And she never really caught back.
Like the woman who lunch and the woman who
always had her hair in a coif. Yep. She always had like a whole ensemble. And I don't even want to say it was, and I say Stepford because it was very like modern, but retro at the same time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It wasn't even just yuppie, or it was like waspy Stepford in modern ages. Even though her stuff was very simple. But yeah, I imagine there had to be a lot of public pressure and scrutiny, especially when you are your brand, right? It has to be very, very difficult.
Yeah, you can't step out the house ever looking raggedy, because mm-hmm. you're the brand, and you're supposed to look a certain way. Even if it's casual, there's still a certain way you always have to kind of carry
and
yourself.
I've never seen her look like, I don't think I've ever seen a picture of Kate Spade in jeans. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't know if I have either. Just, it's always a dress.
It's always a whole situation. There's a bow. There's a whole thing going on.
Yeah, and so apparently they have been living apart. But they were in touch, and you know, she also dealt with I had a lot of issues with alcohol as well as bipolar and depression, and but I don't know. It's weird because, you know, Andy's saying that she had no business or substance abuse problems. So apparently her business was still doing well. She wasn't drinking or doing any type of drugs. But then another part of the article say that she was taking medicine for bipolar. So I don't know. He might be just trying to, you know, save face and not put her business out there at this time. But, you know, it's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad, you know what I mean?
And I think Andy Spade, he's David Spade's brother, right?
Yeah, David Spade, the comedian, that's his brother. Yep. Yeah. So it's you know, take care of yourselves, people. It's a tough world out there, man. It's a tough world. I wanted to mention what's it called? This woman's autopsy obituary.
Oh, that her kids wrote.
Oh, Miss Kathleen.
That shit was funny.
Kathleen. Kathleen. I think it's Demlo. That's probably how you say her last name. Born in 1938, and they wrote this by this. I keep saying.
Obituary,
because she had abandoned her children and married her husband's brother.
Right, but it starts out. The thing is that the obituary starts out like a normal obituary, mm-hmm. like very normal. Second paragraph, then it's like she married her husband's brother. She abandoned her children. Second paragraph, you're like, wait, what's happening? And by the third paragraph. That shit is just, well, you got it. I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, I got it. It says, she abandoned the children, Gina and Jay, who were then raised by her parents in Clements, Minnesota. And she passed away on May 30th, 2018 in Springfield and now will face judgment. She will not be missed by Gina and Jay, and they understand that this world is a better place without her.
That is, woo. You know what, though? I'm not mad at Gina and Jay. Fuck all that pretending everything was all, nah. I'm not going to give you flowers just because you was my mama. Just, no.
Well. Mm-mm.
Nope. I mean, they ain't have to go that hard. But I respect it.
I actually agree. I mean, you know what? That shit has clearly hurt them. That shit has clearly sat with them for decades. Like, this is not a young woman, right? Like, I'm assuming Gina and Jay are well into their 40s, if not 50s.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I could imagine... Yo, man, like, she fucking abandoned her children. And I think that it's always been a little easy for people to assume that a father abandoned their children. Right. Yeah, it's very, very different for a mom to just be like, yo, I really ain't even fucking with y'all like that.
Yeah. And I'm over here living my life.
Yes. I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm over here. As a matter of fact, I'm over here with your uncle.
Yeah, with your uncle. Yeah. So your cousin sisters want to come spend the night.
Exactly. Right.
And clearly it must have been a situation where when she was out. Like, not, I'm still coming to see y'all. Not, I'm taking y'all. Not, let's go on vacation. It sounds like she was real out.
That's absolutely out. What like, it sounded like.
Yeah.
I mean...
The game is the game, baby.
The game is the motherfucking game. And you know what?
The game is cold.
You will reap what you motherfucking sow.
Somebody said,
your goddamn legacy.
And somebody said, you eulogize yourself every day of your life.
Yes,
yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
And listen, man, you know, this is the shit. Listen, I don't know if I've ever told you. I had gone to a funeral before. And everybody got up and they talked about this person. And I was like, who the fuck are they talking about? This nigga was as mean as they came.
Yeah, I think it was terrible.
Word. I'm like,
I don't even know why we all here. Awful. Yeah.
I mean, I'm here because of the, you know, because of the spouse. I'm like, like nigga, like that.
Like that nigga was horrible.
Awful.
I told you the story about my man. I'm not going to say his name. Whose aunt was married to, I forget the husband's name. I'm going to say his name anyway. Really nice man, actually. Really nice guy. Worked for transit. Lived up in the Bronx. Lived up in the Bronx, you know what I'm saying? Off Brooklyn Boulevard in one of them apartment buildings. And, you know, I met him a few times over the years. And, you know, my man's aunt was a very nice person as well. And he was a nice guy, although I didn't see him a lot because he worked at transit. You know, transit hours is crazy.
Right.
So every night he would come home, you know, whenever he would get home, he'd sit, he had his favorite chair, you know, by the TV, he'd sit in his chair, she'd get him a beer and make it, and then pull his dinner out, and he'd sit there and eat on his, you know, TV, what's it called, TV table or whatever, just TV tray, and watch his show, and, you know, watch his shows and always fall asleep in the chair. So one night, you know, he came home and did that and fell asleep in the chair. And, you know, she'd leave him be because he's tired. And when she went to wake him up, he had went going to glory. So she's obviously distraught and everything. So she sets up the funeral. And my man drove up and went to the funeral. And at the funeral, and there's, you know, people sitting there crying and everything. And there's this group of girls crying mad hard. And she's like, who are these people crying so hard? I don't know who they are. So after the service, she walked over and she was like, introduced herself. And she's like, hey, I'm, you know, his wife. And I just saw you really emotional. I don't remember meeting you guys. And they was like, we're his daughters.
What?
He had a whole family. In New York. So
in New York.
Yes, in New York. So what he would do is, would come to find out, what he would do is, you know, work in transit again. Like you said, you work doubles. I was changing. First, I was working 4 to 12. Now I'm working 12 to 8. Die. So a lot of times, the daughters told my man's aunt that no matter what, every morning when they got up, he was there.
Wow.
Every morning he was there. He'd make them breakfast. They'd talk about school. He'd get them ready to go off, you know, with the woman, and they'd go off to school. Like he was like a very active, active part of his life.
Did this guy and his wife have kids?
No, that's the sad thing. They didn't have kids. Awful. You know, I don't know if she wasn't able to, whatever, but they didn't have children. But he had three girls with this other woman. And basically the doctors kind of said like he died because he was exhausted.
Of course.
Because he was living literally two full ass lives.
And paying two sets of bills.
So every morning he made sure he was with the daughters. And every night he made sure he was with my man's aunt. And then sometimes he would say, oh, I got my schedule changed. I got to work 12 to 8 now. And then he would go over there. He would like, he did this for years. Because I remember my man said the girls at that point were like, they were like teenagers. They were like fucking 18, 16. Yeah. So it's tough. I am, man. Game is cold, B. Game is cold.
But you got to always remember whatever dirt you was doing, especially like you got other families.
It's going to come out.
That shit always comes out in death. So you might want to.
Yeah, shit. I mean, I tell no stories. So we here talking.
I mean, I think we all got stories of family showing up at funerals that ain't nobody know about.
So my mother told me, her older brother, William, worked down he worked for years at a bus depot. And one day they saw this, William saw this woman and he said, I think that's my sister. And he looked at the woman and, introduced himself. And she kind of played it like, eh. And so he told my mother, and he was like, I seen her. And so my mother went to the bus depot and they saw it. It was my grandfather had a couple children outside the marriage.
That so they already knew about the kids. They just had never seen
them? They had never seen them because they lived in Kentucky, but like far enough away where they could live lives without really intersecting too much. Yeah, and I don't, to this day, I don't know where they are. I've never seen them. I don't know. So, you know.
See, the problem with these situations now, maybe not then, but now, when niggas have whole other families, is that you, especially if you have two sets of kids, you cannot guarantee that your kids ain't going to meet each other.
And date.
You need to let them know what the fuck. Because in the age of social media, there is no such thing as they live too far apart. If they are in the same age, shit, even if they ain't in the same age group, you need to let, because there is part of a human condition that we are attracted to people who remind us of ourselves and who remind us of our family. So the likelihood of you meeting somebody who you might be related to and you not knowing they're related and being attracted to them is higher than you just like, than you would think. So get it together, niggas. You can't, like, the digital age, all that shit is dead. You can't really play all that off. Cause I mean, your kids end up hurt over it at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely.
One of my friends was telling me about how she found out her father had a whole other family. But what really killed her was that everything her father wasn't for her, like he wasn't present. He didn't do nothing. He was basically a deadbeat. Their stories about him, he was like this amazing dad.
He was Cliff Huxtable.
Yeah, and that pissed her off more than just there being another family. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was like, the fuck? Why he give you that and didn't give me that? You know?
Yeah, what was different about us where he didn't give us that?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, it's, you know, black families, black love. Shit, man. What do you think about this thing with the Eagles and Trump?
I think that Trump is going Trump and he's a fucking idiot and he's going to do whatever he has to do to save face. It's announcing that you're breaking up with somebody who already dumped you. Only 10 motherfuckers was coming. So you had to spin it and turn it into he could have just canceled it and had nothing, but you got to have some whole America's Great event.
It looked like a Klan rally.
I mean, that's essentially what it kind of was, if you want to keep it real. But also the fact that you do it under false pretenses. Say that you canceled the event because of their protest when none of them actually kneeled during the season.
None of them.
And of course, he's never going to retract it. There's never going to be an apology from the White House. There's never going to be a correction of the statement. There's never going to be any of that. And it's just one more. Like, I'm just so sick of this nigga. I'm so sick of him.
And then we only a year and a half in, man. Jesus.
I'm exhausted. Christ.
Peace to the two white men that kneeled, though.
Word, I saw that.
Yeah, two white guys. They kneeled. They weren't. I don't think they were even together. But they kneeled during the national anthem. And then, you know, to their credit, they just bounced. It wasn't like they were like, you know, doing all these interviews or they just left. Like nobody even knows who they really were. But piece of them having that heart to do that on the White House lawn. What you think, bro?
I really don't give a fuck about nothing at 1600. I don't give a fuck about nobody at 1600. It is what it is. I mean, none of this is surprising. I think that, you know, teams have gone and there've been people on both sides of the aisle, so to speak, that have not gone. You know, there've been several people who didn't go because of Obama and his politics.
Yep. Tom Brady didn't go 1 year.
Yeah.
Obama. I remember that.
And I mean, like, you know, listen, that's fair. You know, people don't want to come. Like, they don't need to, you know, they don't need to go. But, you know, of course, the person who was in the office right now feels like he is the office, right? Like he feels like every slight.
He is the country.
Yes, he is the country. So every slight is so personal. It's so heavy. It means so much to him. Like I'm so tired of this wide hip fluffy. Yeah. Fucker. Like, I just want them all to go to prison. I want them all to rot and be poor and have their lives flipped and fucked up the way that they're doing to this entire country. Like, fuck all of them.
I don't know if they call it a rumor, but I read on several news sites, I think it was this morning, that it's a good chance that Paul Manafort might get locked up on Friday.
Hey, great.
Good.
Yeah, because he's due back in court, and they're saying that there's a good chance that the judge is just going to take him in because he's a flight risk and all that. They're like,
well, because Paul Manafort is still out here like
witness tampering, witness tampering.
And yeah, somebody said on Twitter, and I gotta agree, they were like, you know, I really commend Paul Manafort for his dedication to doing illegal shit. Clearly you are really committed to this. Yeah, like clearly you're really committed to this, my dude. And I, you know, listen, hey. If you're going to be about that life, you might as well be about that life.
Yeah, take it right to the end, because once it's over, it's over.
Once it's over, it's over.
One last thing on the fuckery. What'd y'all think about Melania being gone for almost a month?
I think Melania came home. I think Melania was in New York, in Trump Tower, with her boo, recuperating, and they were fronting like she was in the White House. I think she was here in New York. I don't think, like a lot of people were like, she did. I don't think anything malicious or nefarious happened to her, but I think she was in New York chilling.
Just chilling with her boo or whatever.
I think she had her kidney surgery. This nigga came to the hospital like one time for 20 minutes and another time for like kidney surgery. Minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or whatever she was in the hospital.
That's what we sticking with.
I'm gonna stick with that. She was in the hospital for whatever she was in the hospital for. Whatever it was though, it was enough where she, let me tell you what I know. I know that Melania realized that if she was in need of actual attention while she's in any kind of recuperation period, she is not getting it from
that. She ain't getting it from that nigga at all.
So she came the fuck home.
Yeah. Whatever.
We also don't never see Barron ever. Like never. I don't know where that nigga is at.
Like, can you imagine President Obama being in office and Michelle dipping out for a month?
Any president.
And then we never saw the kids ever.
But that's the thing. We have been trained. To accept dysfunction. Yes, there is such a high level of dysfunction that, think about that, right? Like, this is so low on the totem pole
that people are barely talking about it.
Because the president is under investigation for having a foreign government. You know what I'm saying? Infiltrate. Like, dude. His wife and what, like, that shit is so minor, right? Like, even though it's a very real thing, I mean, because, you know, I mean, it is what it is. In my opinion, they've been divorced. They're really going through the motions.
I absolutely believe that they were about to get divorced and they stayed together for the campaign, but they were supposed to get divorced as soon as the campaign was over and everybody's miserable. But the thing is that Melania, as a first lady, has been the least visible first lady. I never remember in my life. She don't do shit. They've had one state house dinner. It's been a year and a half. They had one state house dinner. They don't do no real functions. She don't do no interviews. She don't do nothing.
This entire administration has shown me that there were so many things that were just
that we just took for granted.
We took for granted because they were, it was how things were done. And it was not necessarily these, you know, I think we sort of mistaken things that were like we had to do them.
A lot of it was just protocol and tradition.
Yeah, protocol.
Like people honoring. Yes.
Yeah, people honoring protocol, people honoring tradition.
Which Trump don't give a fuck about.
Yeah. And so it's almost like, yo, you really could just not show your taxes.
Right.
Like, so what was all this big shit about doing it? You know what I'm saying?
Right. You can not show your taxes. You can just, you know, all kind of shit that Trump is doing. Like now, Giuliani, who I really believe is probably in the early stages of dementia.
No question.
He's definitely in two. Probably right. going into that third. Yo, in like 5 years, he definitely gonna be eating Jell-O cups.
Like for real. Like the myth, like Julie, like he, like Rudy has lost his, he's lost his mind.
Yeah,
and the thing is that I'm like, has it really been that long since you've been a practicing attorney that you really just are saying this shit and don't know that what you're saying is wrong? But like now Rudy is like, the president can pardon himself. Like,
yeah.
And you're saying this to the press? And what? Yeah. What?
Because he's
like, a boss, that's an admission by law. But first of all, by law, a pardon is an admission of guilt. So the fact that you are discussing the fact that the president can pardon himself means that the president is guilty. And it's like, and with Nixon, it was after the Justice Department told Nixon that he is not allowed to pardon himself, that Nixon resigned. But we already know that we can't draw any parallels between Nixon and Trump because Trump just don't give a fuck. And and the powers that be, the other powers that be, the Congress, who is supposed to check him, just keep letting him get away with shit.
Like, I was listening to a podcast today where they had a political pundit on it. He was talking about that. He was like, this is a very dicey thing because it is something that has never come up. Right. Yeah. There's no precedent to point.
There's
to
no precedent.
Either
yeah,
way, no precedent. Either on either side.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So
I hate calling cocksuckers the founding fathers, but the guys who started the country, like they never really put put that in because they never thought it would get there.
Yeah, they never anticipated someone like Trump ascending to office. Exactly. I just want to say, well, and I've said before that my guess is that at some point in the relative near future, we'll see a lot of these things that were before just like unofficial code of conduct that presidents did based on honor and tradition written into law.
Yes.
We'll see the rules and we'll see amendments to what the president can and cannot legally do. We'll see those things come to fruition. I think that this Trump presidency is going to severely change.
Yo, this dude is $127 million in travel.
This shit is insane.
Yo,
$127 million. Dude,
in the first year and a half.
I think there's been something like $4 or $5 million just to West Palm Beach police alone.
Wow.
It's crazy.
They say he's taken 111 vacation days already.
Like, it's insane. And I just want to say, because I know y'all two don't watch it, but I watch Hulu's original series, The Handmaid's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
And that shit is scary because the way they came to this regressive, puritanical government way of life, like full complete patriarchy, it was like subtle little shit like this, like stuff will happen and people be like, the government did what? Oh, but it's okay. Oh wait, they said they're gonna suspend the election until stuff settles down. Oh yeah, that's cool. Oh yeah, like it was just like little shit. And as they show you how things got to this point and how people would be like, I mean, let's just lay low. Don't stir up any trouble. This only temporary. It'll be fine. Like surely they can't go but so much further than this. Like surely they can't do but XYZ. And eventually it's just like full takeover. That shit is scary because I'm like, yo, this shit could fucking happen. Like if this nigga gets to a second term, there's no way he's not trying to push for a third term. Like there's like I believe this motherfucker will start a war.
Yeah, he wants to be like the king.
He wants to be king. Yes.
Yeah. Like all you motherfuckers just got to do what I say.
Yes. So forever. Till I die. Scary. Well, hopefully he'll be dead before he can get through a second term.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get it going. He's 70. It's enough. He's already done. Did y'all read that story about Future and his, in the groupie?
No.
Okay. So just a little gossipy story, but I just thought it was kind of interesting. It might be good, good fodder, as they say. So, some girl on Instagram, you know, the usual shit, jumped on Instagram, Future checked her out, jumped in the DMs. They started talking and communicating. So Future was, I think he was going to Florida, and he told her, like, yo, come down, let's kick it. So she was like, well, you know, book my ticket. And he told her, here go the first slickness. He was like, nah, you book it, and then I'll just give you the money, you know, when you get down. As a matter of fact, I'll give you 1,000% of the money. So the plane ticket was $550. So basically, he promised her $5,500.
Right.
In her cash in her hand to come down. So she books her ticket. He books a room. She flies to, I think it's Miami. I'm almost sure it's Miami. She flies to, yeah, it was in Miami. From like Kansas City or some shit. So she flies to Miami. She checks in the room. She got settled or whatever. He hits her up like, yo, what's good? What's poppin'? You here? She's like, yeah, I'm here. It's all good. And he's like, yo, like, yo, so basically, like, so what's up? Like, you know, come by the room. Like, let's chill out. Let's do our thing. And she says to him, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically, like, well, I'm not really that type of girl. I came down here just to kind of hang out and chill with you in the studio. Like,
my nigga.
I wasn't planning on doing all that. And so Future, I mean, to his credit, doesn't flip. It's a whole, you can see it's a text thing. She screenshotted. And he's like, wow, like, okay, no worries. And she's like, I hope you understand. He's like, no, I understand. It's cool. Don't worry about it. It's fine. I get it. And she's like, well, you know, I hope everything's, you know, we can still hang out. And he's like, well, you know, I kind of got to go. I got some shit to do. So he bounces. So the next morning she wakes up and she goes out. And when she comes back to her hotel room, her key doesn't work. So she's like, oh, maybe I just left it too close to the phone and, you know, kind of messed up. So she went down to the lobby and to get the new key. And they was like, nah, your key don't work because your room has been, you know, it's over. They ain't paying for the shit no more. Mm-hmm. You got to pay from here on out. So she done paid the whole ticket price herself. And she stuck in a hotel and got to pay that hotel room bill, too.
So, go ahead.
No, I'm saying, so she kind of posted this as to almost say, like, he's an asshole for doing this, but I was kind of like,
yeah, nah.
Well, is he?
Yeah, no, he's not. I mean, here's the thing. There should never be, no man should ever have an expectation of sex. That said, if you make an agreement to go travel to see a stranger, you all know this nigga from Adam, and he's a celebrity, and he's Future, like, he's Future. He's not just a rapper. He's fucking Future.
Yeah.
You travel your country ass down to see him. You don't know him from Adam. It's a DM situation. You come into Miami. And then they say he's going to give you $5,000 on your ticket. Boo, mm-hmm. if you didn't get the rules and regulations up front, that's really on you. That is actually really on you. Because I'm expecting them going down to fuck. And frankly, I wouldn't go down there unless I was comfortable to fuck. Because even if I was trying not to fuck, I would expect that he's going to try to pressure me to fuck. So I'm not even going to put myself in that position.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, your mama should have taught you don't ever go nowhere that you can't pay for by yourself.
If there you
goes left. So there's also
there
that. So what, I can't what? Even not Future, to be honest.
I couldn't. What you think, bro?
Nigga, that was Jerome that worked down at the Greyhound station. That nigga wasn't no Future, nigga. That's a nigga with some dreads, with a fake picture, and got that gal to come all the way down there. What type of fool ass country shit is this? First of all, let's be fair. All right. In all seriousness, if hanging out with Future was your thing and you were some sort of aspiring musician or you just wanted this experience, why would you even accept him giving you $5,000, right? Like,
right.
Like,
why would you not like, be like, I got it?
Why would that not? Like, how does, there is no world where anyone can offer me an additional $5,000 that would not make me uncomfortable. because there's something else coming. Like, nigga, you can't even pick up my tab at dinner if I don't know you, nigga. Because I know something's coming with that.
Yeah, exactly.
And the fact that she's operating with that is just is telling, right? But then second of all, this is one of those kind of things where I say, you know, sometimes it's okay to take your L and learn
and quiet.
This was a learning experience. I would assume, because I followed this a little bit on the timeline. I would assume that this is a very young lady.
Definitely 23,
never really been nowhere, never really been moving around. And what happens is like, yeah, you know, for the most part, you go to a lot of these big cities, right? You know, LA, Atlanta, you know, DC, and the 22-year-olds are of a different breed because they've been out here.
Right.
Like they've been taught the game.
They know how to move.
They know how to move. And it's very, very different from people that aren't really from cities like that because they really are kids and they kind of are being fed to the wolves.
And they're super green and they only believe what they see on TV.
But here's super green.
Even if you only know what you see on TV and in the movies and on the Twitters and the Instagrams, you still should have known that nigga wasn't giving you $5,000 just to come down and hang out in the goddamn studio. And, like, for me, the fact that you asked, the fact that he invited you down to me, and again, I'm not saying that anybody should have any man should have the expectation of sex, but she asked first for him to buy her ticket. Like he said, come down. She said, why don't you book my ticket? According to what Jeffrey said. She said, why don't you book my ticket? In my opinion, the moment that I actually say to you, yes, travel me down, we're being transactional. This is not dinner. Right? Yeah. This is not dinner. And I don't know you. That's the other thing. I don't know you. It'd be different if like you're somebody I'm dating and we're traveling out of town. I don't fucking know you. We didn't meet through online dating. We didn't meet. This is a Doug and DM hookup. Yeah, it's just it.
I think, again, man, I just think it was one of those times where she kind of wanted to do or be a part of this world and really wanted to play coy. A little bit, right? Like she
right.
wanted
I feel
to
like
of,
that too. I feel like she wanted to say, "I'm not that kind of girl," but it probably still would have gone down. But
I absolutely feel like that's probably what would have happened. She wanted to, you know, make sure she put that out there, like you know, like listen, I don't usually do this,
right?
You know what I'm
but
saying?
That's backfired.
Yeah, and you know, listen, man, everything isn't for consumption on social media. It is absolutely okay for some shit to happen. And then not be blasted. Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, and from what I see, now that Sean mentioned it, I mean that Jeff mentioned it, I was seeing people talk about 5500 and I didn't know what they were referencing. Mm-hmm. But it looks like most people took Future aside. From what I saw.
I mean, he is who he is. We know he's a savage. I mean, he's he's not.
That's not even really savage, yo. Yeah. Was popping.
Yeah, it was popping. Come through. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
And then he probably looked at it like, yo, and to me, man, like, okay, like you thought, like, I really want to ask her, and like, sweetie, like, you really thought somebody was about to count out $5,100 bills and hand them to you?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, like, was that your assumption from the person who wouldn't even book a ticket? Somebody would pay $1,000% markup to be in your company when they don't even know you?
Right.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about right now? Like, where's your parents?
Right. Also, just everybody be clear. Like a bunch of fly out shit could be avoided if everybody was clear on expectations before they left their respective cities.
Niggas, stop moving around like that.
Right. That too.
Okay. How about we start doing that? Like, how about, listen, man, if you can't hang, if you can't rock out, if you can't do certain shit, like, then don't go. Don't go. A lot of niggas out here doing that. Yo, we going to Vegas. Niggas, four of y'all in the room. You grown ass man. Y'all sleeping head to toe. Fuck is going on?
Right.
To be in the season of broke niggas trying to do shit.
Them niggas going. Everybody doing their summer leases. Them shits be repoed by October.
Hmm. Wait, both of y'all just went quiet. Hello? Jeff, Sean?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Jeff?
I think we lost Jeff. Jeff was going in and out.
Yeah. I just want to give a shout out while we're waiting on Jeff to come back, because I don't think this was in the topics. I want to give a shout out real quick to IHOP, which, because I don't know what the fuck they up to, but they got everybody talking because they've been running this campaign that they are switching their name. They're flipping the P. That's how they're referencing it. So they're switching their moniker to IHOB, like IHOB, but they won't say what the B is for. So everybody's been speculating, and they're supposed to do it next week, and everybody's been speculating like what they're talking about. And apparently they've kind of shot down claims that they're turning into International House of Breakfast. So now you got everybody chattering, like, what's IHOP doing? What's IHOP doing? If it is a brand change, it's the dumbest shit ever.
Stupid. Because
nobody ever even calls it International House of Pancakes. But I have the feeling they just call it IHOP. But I have the feeling this may be like a one-day promotion, but it's a lot to do for a one-day promotion. Like, they're going balls to the wall.
I haven't really done IHOP in a very long time. Usually, I've you know, God bless the folks that go there. I don't always feel like I'm in the safest environment down at the IHOP. when you are in the IHOP.
Hold on, bro. You don't feel like you're in the safest environment down at the
IHOP. I mean, listen, man. You know, look. And you niggas know me. You know I will risk it for some good food. I have gone to several very questionable neighborhoods.
Yeah.
For certain kinds of food. But nigga, when I be in the IHOP, man, my I be so tense, bro. Tense. Especially when you down at like, if there's any sort of crowds, like if it's really crowded.
Yeah. Cause it's a fight waiting to break out.
Damn, I'm uneasy. For like 3 years straight, every fucking fight on World Star looked like it was in an IHOP, Red Lobster, or Waffle House.
Or Denny's. Exactly. Like, one of them.
I'm good. Just take me to a diner, man.
Yeah. No, I mean, what haven't said what the B is yet, right? I'm assuming it's breakfast.
Well, no, they've kind of in a roundabout way dispute, like kind of, whatever the word is, debut that it's breakfast. That's not the word I'm looking for. I can't think of the word I'm looking for. Yeah, so I was just saying when you were gone for a second that I have the feeling that it's a one-day promotion, whatever it is, because it would be a horrible brand decision to, at this stage in the game, as long as y'all been around, your name, because IHOB just don't flow.
And it'd be mad expensive to change all that signage and all that shit, the napkins.
So one blog did some investigative reporting and said they don't see any trademark applications filed for IHOB. And the name of the company is still IHOP Enterprises. So I think it must be a one-day promotion, but I really am curious to see what they're doing that they're putting this much steam behind. Like, this is a pretty big campaign, right? And it's a lot of manpower. And they even have the IHOB Twitter handle is verified, but there isn't anything else. Like, the domain doesn't seem to be owned. Like, so for all intents
and purposes, how much y'all put this much effort into making sure the grits is right? Okay. Goddamn! Every time I go, the inconsistency of these grits be on my nerves.
IHOP does have some good pancakes.
I like a good pancake with that little blueberry syrup. Now, I
mean, all the flavored syrup.
It's about 40,000 calories, which is why I never go there no more. But it do be good now. That big old glob of butter.
IHOP was always my preference over Waffle House. Always. Because I always wanted breakfast food and not like a patty melt or something like that. IHOP was always my preference over.
You know what I'm saying? So,
shout out to IHOP.
Before we wrap up, I want to give a quick shout out.
Oh, you shout to your man, right? The Asian man, right?
To who?
The Asian man, the guy, the Chevy
Hill. Shout out to So you guys know I'm an American car guy, man. So I go in and I've been dealing with this Asian dude at the dealer.
Okay.
Asian dude, you know, he's like 45. Like, he don't, you know, American guy, you know what I'm saying? No accent, none of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally found out his name, and it's Bernard. And I was fucked up for like a smooth 5 minutes, bro.
I ain't never met an Asian guy.
It was Asian Bernard. I was
Bernard. Yo, you know Bernard.
I could not, for the life. Because then I started to wonder. I was like, yo, is that his real name, or is that like a name he has, you know, taken on sort of to assimilate to, you know, working around a bunch of, Americans, right? Like, or, and then I'm like, you know, shit, maybe he was born, his parents been born. I mean, he's not that old, right? Like, it's not unreal to think that, you know, a Asian guy born in 1963 was named Bernard.
But he took that name, right? He actually chose it?
No, I'm saying I didn't ask him. Oh, I started to think about that.
I think
how you get that name? Bernard.
Yeah. I've been down there enough, but we ain't got the, that's your real name relationship. Right.
Yeah.
So wait, before we wrap, I wanted to circle back to the future story only because I looked it up and we got a couple of details wrong, but I still ain't really mad. So the girl said that they had already once chilled in Miami. She'd been talking to him in March. She's been talking to him since March. She once chilled with him in Miami and they just went to the studio. It was no funny business. But then he told her he wanted to see her. So first of all, if a rapper after y'all hung out once is like, I want to see you, and that requires going out of state, we all know what that means. Because he gave you the one pat. He gave you the one time to be like, we going to chill.
Yeah.
The second time you going out of state, like, bitch, this ain't Pretty Woman. Like, I know that sounds awful. I know this sounds awful for me to say, but y'all, we all just really need
to know what this is. Yeah.
We need to be realistic. Like, this ain't Pretty Woman. This ain't fucking Cinderella. Like, these niggas get it how they live. And if you don't want to be part of that, then, like, just don't fuck with rappers' names. Don't fuck with rappers. And definitely don't fuck with Future. Not Nevadius. Goddamn.
I think this guy lying. And I'm gonna tell you why. Because
Let me finish. Right. Wait. So she says that 3 days, like 3 days ago, he told me he wanted to see me, told him about my flight. And, you know, that whole part, Jeff said, you know, he said he went up about $1,000 better. So she gets settled. She texts him. He hits her back, like, be sexy, get some lingerie popping or whatever. And she's like, oh, I ain't even packed lingerie. I wasn't really thinking about that. What? And so then he's like, oh, you playing. And she's like, well, my bad. I told you. And he's like, nah, it's cool. All right, I'll hit you up another time. Mm. And she's like, wait, I'm not going to see you at all. He's like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm straight.
So, you know, that's it. And then she, like you said, she leaves and comes back. But they tell her that she was always supposed to check out Sunday. Her room was never booked through the weekend. So she's like, well, this nigga was going to fuck me, put me out the next day. You ain't talk about how long you was going to be there. You ain't talk about, like, clearly there was no conversations had here about arrangements, about logistics. You ain't tell him when you was, you ain't tell him nothing, like, but all of this really is on you. It's on you.
Let me ask a question. When do you think the last time Future had a conversation with any woman about this? He's like, if you coming, you already know what it is.
Right. Like, what? Like, what the fuck else do you think is going to be? I got eight baby mamas already. What do I need another relationship for? Exactly. Like, for real.
That guy.
My nigga.
That guy lying. That guy lying her motherfucking ass off. And I'm going to tell you why right now. She went back. She doubled back. And she gave all of that backstory about how that shit looked.
Right.
She looked like a fool. And I really think she was talking to some nigga named Jerome that really do work down at the bus station. I'm dead ass serious. Like, some nigga was scamming her and got her to come down. You know what I'm saying? And she felt very stupid. And so she, because first of all, if you had this relationship and you had this connection, why the fuck are y'all still communicating via DM? Okay.
Yeah, why are you not calling him?
You're not calling it, or you're not calling his role manager. You're not calling, nobody, nigga. Y'all in the DMs. Right. So that's already suspect. She doubled back on that shit and made it seem like she had been chilling with him and that there was some sort of established relationship to make it seem like, nah, I'm not being dumb or you were. It's okay because you're a young woman. It's okay.
Never in my life can a nigga who asks me to come meet them somewhere who has a business manager tell me to book my own flight.
And I get it back to you when you get here.
That's what the fuck I do know. That's what I do know. And the moment you did that, you took an L.
Yeah.
Sorry. Because unless you wanted to see him that bad, or unless you just, because she actually is in LA, I think. Unless you wanted to be, and she's in LA still, and she claims she didn't get stranded, because her dumb ass probably did buy a one-way ticket. She claims she didn't get stranded, but that she's just out there. But it's like, Future said he wants you, like, there's no part of me that thinks that any man, Future, fucking Jason Smith, fucking Todd, like whoever, is going to ask me to come see them, and they're going to give me $1,000 return on my money.
Yeah.
And they don't want some ass. Like, yeah, exactly. That's a clear lie. It's some ass being got here.
Exactly. Somebody like going to do something.
I am stellar company, and I don't expect $5,000. Like,
somebody gonna do some type of rubbing and tugging and this motherfucker. I know.
God damn. And she's an Instagram model, so there's and again, I'm not slut shamed, I'm not anything, but there's a whole lot of ass and shit and all kind of other shit happening. I get it, but Ma, like you knew. That's all I'm saying is that you knew.
Yeah, so shit. Stop. Yeah. Cut the bullshit. Last thing, real quick. On the Run 2 tour started tonight.
Showed the twins. They so chunky.
But they're not. Now the BuzzFeed is saying that's actually not the twins. It's two stand-in babies. But who the fuck knows?
That'd be
just, yeah.
How do you know? Like, if they showed them in a picture, why would it be two stand-in babies? It's not like the babies there.
Exactly. And then there's the only thing that kind of got me like, is Jay-Z basically took the Kanye idea for the floating stage. And he's like got the same thing. He's got the floating stage with the light underneath that goes over the crowd. I was interesting.
They use the same on him. Yay, and Drake all use the same
production
design.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, yeah. So, I mean, just want to give him a shout out.
Hey, well, I got one last quick shout out. We did go to the National Museum of African American Music, the inductions that were down in Nashville. And I just want to say, you guys always make fun of me being an old uncle. Like, nigga, I was watching Johnny Gill tear down a fucking stage in honor of Charlie Wilson.
I love it.
While Niles Rogers, Yolanda Adams, to me, all of this great talent, man, was like just fully engulfed in the shit, dude. Like, it was just, it was absolutely amazing to watch and to see, man. And, you know, Charlie Wilson's voice, like, you know, he hadn't rehearsed. We literally walked in at the same time as him. So I knew he hadn't rehearsed.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it's, like, they handed
it
him.
It's shit like a bell.
God, man. Like, right. Like, ding, nigga. Charlie, like,
yeah.
Charlie's voice and... And I don't know if he had time to do it at this event, but if you've ever seen Charlie live, Charlie has a whole praise and worship segment.
Oh no, he did. He went testimony. Oh no,
because he promised God though. He promised God. He said, "If you restore my voice, I will glorify you." And he does that every
show. So, amen. Absolutely, he did. It was an amazing experience. It was Mona. It was Charlie Wilson, Nile Rodgers, Keb Mo, who was like a blues and American folk singer, who was like from Compton. But his folks is from, you know, like Mississippi or somewhere. So
of course.
And then Yolanda Adams, and she was
awesome company.
Tamia sung her really big record. I keep forgetting the name.
Open Our Eyes.
Open. Yo, I mean, it was like breathtaking.
Oh, you mean Open My Heart.
Open my heart.
You know the one that Sister Jones praised dance to on Women's Day.
They say Yolanda stole that song from her, actually.
But nah, you know, and you know, all just it was really wonderful. So, you know, just the old nigga in me was feeling incredibly.
You was in hell.
Shit, speaking of old nigga having a good time, I forgot. Shout out to Yo MTV Raps and the motherfucking anniversary concert on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
I got my whole entire old New York bitch life. That was excellent. That was old. That was old New York in the building. On. Nigga, the chick behind me had on a Fila bodysuit. I was like, where did you even get that fit?
And she was like, Fila is back popping.
But she was like 48. I think she might have had it. Like,
okay,
it was
in storage.
Oh my God, I had so much fun. I mean, I had so, I knew I was gonna enjoy the show, but I mean, I had so, that was old New York heaven up in that shit. It was great.
Yeah. God bless all those guys. I love them all.
And they all, you can tell they all are used to performing their little one or two hits. Like there was, I told y'all there was one Fushnicken. One.
Yeah, Chip.
And he,
Chip.
And he riggedy rapped the riggedy rhyme, the blah blah blah, because I'm a true Fushnick, did all that shit.
Was Dos Effects there too?
Dos Effects was there, Special Ed was there, Flav was there with Wild Energy. It was it was Flav and Terminator X. No Chuck.
Okay.
Fat Joe, you guys might have seen clips of this. Fat Joe
came out with Chris. Hype Man. Yeah.
And was like legitimately hype. Drez was there to do Black Sheep shit, but like held it down. Kumo D was there, nice and smooth. Dougie killed it. MC Light killed it. Brand Nubian, Eric D and Rakim, Kane, but Kane only did a song and a half. Like literally, it was just mad. Oh, Young Black Teenagers, but I missed them. And I also heard that the Beatnuts were there, but I missed them. No, I saw the Beatnuts. Somebody else was there. Oh, Smith and Wesson was there, but I missed them.
Okay.
So, like, they got a whole... And... what you call it? Marley Marl brought out the whole Juice crew. So, okay. Roxanne Shanté. So, MC Shan. Oh, Curtis Blow was there. Like, literally everybody was there. Like, it was mad niggas there. It was awesome.
I was looking out on the gram. It looked like it was a good time.
It was awesome, and niggas was live. Like, there wasn't a whole bunch of lip syncing. There wasn't a whole bunch of, like, some of them might have been rapping over track, but it was, and, you know, I want to give a shout out to the DJs, because it made me realize how much is missing from modern hip-hop concerts. Like, you don't have DJ scratch-offs no more. You don't have DJs taking a minute to just, like, show their skills off during the set change. So it was Kid Capri. It was DJ Scratch. It was Mark the 45 King. It was Scribble, who apparently produced the whole thing. And who else? There were a couple other DJs there, but you know, obviously Capri Scratch and Mark 45 King being the main ones. And you know, they had their little moment where they were all just doing their thing back and forth. It was really, really awesome. I'm glad I was there for that moment. It was dope. And Jeff, I wanted to ask you, I know we're running long. You got anything to say on this J Prince shit? Because people who didn't really know who J Prince was are all of a sudden learning who he is this week after he apparently told Drake not to drop his diss track and just leave everything alone.
Well, as far as Jay goes, I mean, just kind of like, I'm actually surprised that he's...
this visible?
You know, he doesn't talk, you know what I'm saying? So, like, the fact that he decided to, like, really do the promotion on the book tour and do all the shows, he's done pretty much every show. He did, like, Desus and Mero, he did TRL, he did Sway, he did Breakfast Club. He's done the gamut, you know? Right. I'm really surprised for James to do that, because he's just not a public person. But, yeah, I mean, when it first came out that James said that to Drake, told Drake not to put the record out, I tweeted before he went into his little explanation of why he said that. I was like, yo, I'm telling you, that rebuttal was going to be so vicious and brutal, it was going to cause a lot of drama and possibly fuck up Drake's rollout, because Drake's album was supposed to come out this month.
Right.
So I really believe it was that vicious of a rebuttal. And James is like, yo, you about to fuck up some money. And I know the true hip hop heads want to hear it and all that. And I don't think we ever will. But I mean, I'm not saying James is right or wrong, but knowing James is a tad, I understand why he said why he did what he did.
Do you want to say anything to everybody about, like, because a lot of people are like, well, who the fuck
is his legacy?
Like, why is Drake listening to the president of Rap-A-Lot Records?
Well, because James is a legend in the Southwest part of the country. I mean, now nationally, but he started in the Southwest part of the country in Houston. He started Rap-A-Lot Records. He came up from literally from the street, from the gutter. He's a really tough guy. And he started Rap-A-Lock Records and, you know, made a mark and basically owned and controlled the whole southwest of the country.
He's an elder
for a long, for a long period of time before McMaster P and Baby and them came around from Louisiana. Like, he had the whole, that whole part of the country, and he's very, very, very well respected. Like, he, nobody, I don't care when Suge was out here moving, Master P was out here moving, and Baby, like all the tough guys, and there are some other tough guys, but nobody want that James Prince problem, and none of them want that. So yeah, he's really that guy. He can really like make things stop and start, and that's what he, that's what he did. And and, you know, that's who he is. That's really who he is, you know.
All right, I just wanted to get that in there.
All right, cool, we're gonna wrap it up, and God bless you all, and we'll see y'all next week.
Later.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.